Today on CityCast Philly, Mayor Sherelle Parker recently unveiled her first budget proposal.
I'm extremely proud. My budget has no new taxes, no new taxes on the people of Philadelphia.
This nearly $6.3 billion plan would put more money toward things like police technology and cleaning commercial corridors. I'm speaking with a reporter about what this budget says about her priorities and whether or not City Council is likely to approve it. It's Wednesday, March 20th. I'm Trini Nuri, and here's what Philly's talking about. Sean Collins Walsh, City Hall reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Welcome back to CityCast Philly.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Sean, last week, Mayor Sherelle Parker presented her first budget to City Council. This is a big deal for any mayor. Was there anything that stood out for you when you heard Mayor Parker's plans?
You're right. It is a big deal. It's sort of like Philadelphia's version of the State of the Union, wrapped up with the budget proposal all in one. So she unveils what she wants council to approve next year in the budget for taxing and spending, and also gives this big speech where she goes before city council, and there's, you know, special guests, and there's a lot of hoopla around it. So it is a big moment, in no small part because she's our first female mayor. So this is the first time a woman has ever delivered the budget address to city council. As far as whether there was anything surprising, the answer is mostly no. But Parker really focused on what she campaigned on. Her campaign slogan is making Philly the cleanest, safest, greenest big city in the country with economic opportunity for all. She repeats it all the time. And she even like broke down her budget proposals to fit into the different parts of that slogan. So nothing was super shocking as far as that goes. Maybe one thing that was a little surprising was that she didn't propose any tax cuts or increases.
I think that piqued my ear as well. You know, where would the money needed to run the city and fund her priorities come from?
So the city is in an interesting moment, and that is that we're sitting on a lot of money, which is unusual for Philadelphia. I think past mayors have really struggled to find money to fund their priorities. But right now, thanks to the sort of unique circumstances of the post-pandemic economy, we have money, and the trouble is getting it out the door, getting it spent on services in a way that people can really see. And so part of that has to do with the federal pandemic aid money that we got from Washington from the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021. That money expires at the end of this calendar year. So by the end of December, we have to spend $450 million almost that is remaining from our pot of that money. We initially got $1.4 billion, and there's still $450 million to be spent.
Okay, let's break down some of Parker's major ideas. Like you mentioned, making Philly safer. What's in her budget for public safety?
So it's an interesting question because you might expect a mayoral candidate who campaigned against defund the police and who has this kind of law and order approach to public safety to have a major increase in the police budget. That wasn't in there. The police budget is sort of overall roughly the same now. And the reason for that is that the police department is struggling to spend the money it does have when it comes to personnel. And that's because of this nationwide staffing crisis that's affecting local governments across the country. And so basically she's promising to hire more cops to do a better job of recruiting more applicants for the police academy. And then if that happens, then they don't need to spend more money on the police department. They just be spending the money that's allocated.
Also, I want to ask about quality of life initiatives. Mayor Parker has repeatedly said that she wants to make Philly, like you said, the cleanest and greenest big city in America. How would her budget do that?
Yes, clean and green. That's a big one. And in her five-year plan, which is sort of like a big picture, long-term strategy for this budget and future budgets, she's proposing $246 million in spending on things that would help Philly no longer be called Philadelphia.
Oh, gosh.
So she's proposing a pilot program where some areas will get twice weekly trash pickup, like residential trash pickup. She wants more of those like big public trash cans. There's crews that can go after illegal dumping sites in each of the 10 council districts. So there's a lot of different little parts of that effort to make Philly cleaner, which I think everyone wants. So we'll see if it happens.
More on Mayor Parker's budget plan after the break. This is CityCast Philly. Okay, Sean, over the past few weeks, we've seen Mayor Parker speak out a lot about ending the open-air drug market in Kensington, making that a key priority. Something I've recently read, according to Kensington Voice, Kensington was mentioned a total of 16 times in the budget plan, more than any other neighborhood, including Center City. What are her plans for this North Philly neighborhood?
So Mayor Parker did not make ending the open-air drug market in Kensington a major part of her campaign in the primary last year.
Right.
And since taking office, the rhetoric around Kensington has really grown, and including from the mayor's office. And now ending the open-air drug market there, as she phrases it, has really become sort of a goal that is she's going to be judged by because she's associated herself with it. And so this budget has some concrete things that show us the path that they're going to go there. One of them is the triage center, which is still a little bit fuzzy on what it actually is and what it's going to look like. And it was proposed by some members of city council, but Parker's embracing it. And the idea is, you know, there's the drug dealers who police can target, and then there's the drug users in Kensington, and that's a much more thorny issue. And so do you arrest them? Is that helpful? Obviously, getting them into treatment would be ideal. And so this triage center is kind of a place where, this is how the officials are describing it, people will be taken and they'll be offered services and hopefully they'll take it. And if not, they may be arrested. And to be clear, this is not just in Kensington. Parker has said that there will be multiple triage centers, but the urgency, the origin of this is coming from the lawmakers who cared about Kensington most.
What stood out to me is that she also spoke about her personal connections to addiction when she was growing up. Here's what she had to say.
We care deeply about every person in addiction. And for those who think that they care more, once you've loved and lost someone close to you, I'm not talking about the second or the third or the fourth or the fifth cousin removed. When it touches your immediate family, like it did with me, you know that people, places, and things are what impact people in addiction. Focusing on their long-term care, housing, and access to economic opportunity to put them on the path to self-sufficiency, that is what helps people.
I thought that was one of the more emotionally impactful moments of the speech. And I asked her about it afterwards, actually. And it wasn't in her speech, the written copy of it. She ad-libbed that part. When I asked her about this, she said that she lost two uncles to addiction and that obviously it had a major impact on her family growing up. And, you know, her message here is that there are going to be people who are going to say that the administration's approach to Kensington lacks heart or lacks compassion. And she is going with a tough on crime approach here. And she's saying, you know, I don't have a lack of compassion for this issue. It's just that my response is going to be a certain type of response. And, you know, that doesn't mean that I don't care about people in addiction. It means that I do care. And this is how I'm proposing to address it.
All right, Sean, I want to do a little civics lesson here. The mayor has now presented her budget. What's next?
Yeah, great question. So this is kind of the kickoff to what we call budget season in City Hall. So the mayor does the budget address and the budget proposal. What's next is that City Council will hold weeks and weeks of hearings going department by department to examine the budget proposal. And those can often be sort of exciting hearings, if you will, at least for folks like me, because the city council members get to just sort of interrogate, if they want, the different department heads. And then after that, there's a period where there's not much that's going on publicly. This would be like late April into May. And what's happening is negotiations behind closed doors. So council members say, you left out this thing that I want, whether it's like funding for a rec center in their district or whatever it is. So that there's back and forth like that for a while. And then the final budget vote is supposed to happen around the end of May, but it usually ends up happening around the end of June. And that's the hard deadline, because the new budget begins on July 1st, which means that the old budget is no longer in effect on July 1st. So to fund the city government, they have until midnight at the end of June, and they'll probably get it done a couple of weeks before that.
Sean, also what stood out to me is that in your reporting, you mentioned that basically the city has a staffing shortage. And now I know we mentioned that within the Philadelphia Police Department, the staffing shortage that's going to make creating new programs kind of tough. How does that impact these plans?
It's crucial, because it is going to be the difference maker between, you know, plans and goals and budgets and things that, as Parker says, Philadelphians can see, touch, and feel. That's what she wants them to, city services to be visibly improved for people in neighborhoods that have been overlooked in the past, to have a sense that City Hall, you know, cares about my block because they towed away that abandoned car, or the demolition down the street was safe and there were inspectors who looked at it and there wasn't an accident that was overlooked. So I think that that's going to be the major difference here. It's a nationwide issue, like I mentioned, this local government staffing crisis. And there's some national trends here that we can't really control. But then also there's efforts to recruit people in a smarter way and to make sure that we're reaching out to everybody who we can, who might want to become a city employee.
I know a lot of people are still wondering if they're going to have to come into that office 5 days a week.
That is one of the issues here. So Parker's, you know, she says she's working on a policy where all city employees will have to return to in-person work 5 days a week. And some city employees have pushed back on that and said, well, we're in a staffing crisis and this is going to make it less attractive to apply for a job with the city if I can get a job in the private sector where I have some flexibility and 1 or 2 days a week I can be at home, which makes elder care or child care or other personal life stuff easier. Parker's not down for that. She said she might make exceptions. They're still crafting their policy. So maybe there are some child care, elder care exceptions or carve outs, but that is definitely a factor here.
Okay. How realistic is it that she'll get what she's asking for at the end of this process?
My take, and I just did a story on this week, is that she's going to get a vast majority of what she wanted, because I think she proposed things that are already popular in council. I don't see a lot in this budget that a majority of council is going to not be a fan of. So I would not expect a major, you know, 11th hour, will they, won't they, you know, get it done in time type of moment here.
Anything else you're watching in this budget process, Sean?
Yeah, one thing that's interesting to me this year for budget season is that usually in the spring and early summer when this all goes down, the budget kind of is the thing the council is focused on and the mayor is focused on, and it takes up all the oxygen. But this year we have this other issue hanging out there, which will be major, which is the 76ers arena proposal.
Right.
So it is possible that, you know, when we get down to brass tacks on the budget, it's also the same moment where council has to decide whether to approve the arena or not, which is going to be a controversial vote. So I don't think that they'll be linked necessarily, but it could make negotiations interesting if, say, you're on the mayor's side for this thing in the budget, but you're not on the mayor's side for the arena debate, depending on how it all shakes out. So that's something that I'm going to be watching.
That was Sean Collins Walsh, City Hall reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Thanks so much for being here on CityCast Philly.
Thanks for having me and for caring about the city budget.
You can read more of Sean's reporting by clicking the links in our show notes. That's all for today here on CityCast Philly. Let us know what you think of this episode. Rate the show, leave us a review, and hit that subscribe button. Be sure to sign up for our morning newsletter, Hey Philly, to learn more about what else Philly's talking about. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Bye.